You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Cornflake.
So we host the Flopcast.
We cover nerd and geek subjects of all types, but this is sort of a sillier, goofier side of geekdom, I'd say.
We love to talk about music, especially funny music.
We talk about comic books, conventions.
Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh, yeah. I'd say if you're going to put the Flopcast in Brady Bunch terms, we're like the Cousin Oliver of podcasting. And we do a ridiculous new Flopcast episode every week.
What is wrong with us?
We really have nothing else to do. We're part of the Earth Station One Podcast Network.
And you can find us at flopcast.net.
Hello and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster, back to give you a sci-fi news for this week podcast. So, the big three items I'm going to be talking about is a new Jack Ryan series that's coming to Amazon. I have Blade Runner 2 news that's up to date, as well as some news about Justice League Dark, or the Dark Universe movie. So, lots to talk about. So let's begin with the Jack Ryan series. Granted, Jack Ryan is not really science fiction. He's more action, spy-ish kind of a character. But the actors that portrayed him have done some science fiction work, and other properties that I've always enjoyed watching. So, one of the benefits of doing this podcast is that it's not always about sci-fi, but always looking at what else has this actor or actress has done in their career that I watch on occasion. So, it does kind of tie in, because if you've ever watched the Jack Ryan movies, Alec Baldwin did the first one, called The Hunt for Red October, with Sean Connery, who was, of course, in Indiana Jones' father, and, of course, the first Highlander movie. And we have Harrison Ford, who was in Patriot Games and Clear and Present Danger. And then we got Ben Affleck, Some of All Fears, and Chris Pine, who was also Jack Ryan in Shadow Recruit. So, again, all these actresses, except for, no, even Alec, he did Beetlejuice, has done some kind of sci-fi, fantasy-type movies that, again, we've all watched. So it's well in keeping of this podcast's philosophy of just kind of keeping up with these actors. So, now, the new guy on the block hasn't really done a whole lot of sci-fi stuff, at least not to my knowledge. His name is John Krasinski. And if you ever watched The Office, well, he's Jim. Jim is a fun, lovable guy who loves doing pranks on the character named Dwight, and also makes these weird faces to the camera. Either they're frowny faces or they're can you believe the situation kind of face. So it's an enjoyable series. In fact, before this news came out, I have been rewatching it for the past couple of weeks since the beginning, and today I just finished season 4, and my son and I were watching a little bit today. So it's a good guy that I don't mind watching, but I haven't seen him do anything since The Office. Now, he did do a movie called 13 Hours with Michael Bay, and he had sport a beard, and it looks really good. So I don't know if that's what's going to happen in a new series, but what I do know is that it's going to be at least 10 episodes, so looking at an hour apiece, but it's going to be maybe the best thing that's ever happened to a Jack Ryan series. Rather than compress everything to 2 hours, you'll have time to really tell a story that really deserves that kind of time. If you ever look at the Jack Ryan series books that Tom Clancy has written, they're very thick. And a lot of those elements don't get put into those movies. So now with the benefit like Game of Thrones and other series that are coming onto the small screen, I should say, this could be something that of a good game changer, because now series that which couldn't be produced on television for whatever reason can now have a new audience. I remember back in the day, Robert P. B. Parker did the Spencer series with Robert Urich. So, very popular. And who was in that series? Hawk. So, Hawk, if you know Benjamin Sisko from DS9, that's who was in that series. So, and I'm, of course, I'm blanking out a name. Can you believe this? I am a Star Trek geek, and I'm blanking out about the actor who is playing Benjamin Sisko. I can't believe I am struck with dumb right now. D-U-M-E. And yes, the E is not pronounced. So there. I'm really tired. That's the other thing, too. I waited all day to record this podcast because I was off today. I didn't want to do anything other than watch The Office and just do nothing. So, and it's like 11:30 and I'm getting kind of punchy here. So, alright. So, aside from that, the other thing too that has always been the weakness of the Jack Ryan movies was, except maybe for the first or second or so, the villains are okay. They're decent enough. They do stand out. But if it's not tied into current affairs, it just falls flat. The Shadow Recruit with Chris Pine's Kenneth Branagh, who was a director of the first Thor movie, was nothing really that I cared about. He was playing a Russian guy that is, this is who we have as a bad guy. We're going back to the Russians. That was better done back in the 80s with the first one, with The Hunt for Red October. So I think from what I read, they are going to be tackling ISIS as the main focus for the series. That may change, I don't know. But again, as long as it can make it current and tie it into what's going on, I'm actually looking forward to this. And also, some tidbit news, John Krasinski had tested years ago for the role of Captain America, which we know as Chris Evans. So, having seen Jim, John Krasinski's character, I can't get that image out of my head as him playing Captain America with the kind of moppet hair and that weird expression that he would always do to the camera. So thank God Chris Evans is Captain America and we don't have John. But let John have Jack Ryan. So we'll just leave it at that. All right. The other news is that we have finally for Blade Runner 2 is that Jared Leto is going to be joining the cast, which is kind of cool. And then I was looking over to see who else was in the series, and one of the things that kind of stood out, I mean, aside from Ryan Gosling and Robin Wright, and of course Harrison Ford, which have already been established, you know, months ago I spoke about Dave Bautista, and the one that came up, Lenny James. If you know Lenny James, he was Robert Hawkins from the Jericho series that was on CBS for about 3 seasons, which I still have to watch the last part, which I do love him and that, but he's better as Morgan in the Walking Dead series, so I'm definitely on board for that. The other thing, David Malchin, he was in The Dark Knight. He was one of the Joker's henchmen, but he is in the 12 Monkeys series that's on Sci-Fi Channel. He was also in Ant-Man, but he is also going to be in the upcoming Twin Peaks series, which I thought that's going to be, for me, something I really got to talk about, because I'm a big Twin Peaks fan and cannot wait for that to happen. So whenever that comes, be prepared to have some damn good coffee and a good slice of cherry pie with that podcast. So, aside from that, we are getting not Ridley Scott as the director, which I thought that was kind of surprising because for the longest time it was going to be. And I'm missing the guy's name. Is Denis Villeneuve, hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly, is the new director for Blade Runner 2. And I didn't know of anything that he has done before, but Sicario is something that came out last year, I believe. Emily Blunt, who I love tremendously. If you have not seen The Adjustment Bureau, I highly recommend that. Between having watched that and Matt Damon together, I fell head over heels for Emily because of their relationship. But again, Philip K. Dick did that story for The Adjustment Bureau, so, which is appropriate for Blade Runner 2. So if you love all the stuff about Philip K. Dick, not that I think that this story is going to be better than Blade Runner, I have no idea. All I know is that it's still going to take place in Los Angeles years later. All I know is that things are going to get even more screwed up with the environment. But the big problem is that if you ever watch the Blade Runner version that came out, you'll know that towards the end, there's a whole sequence in which Deckard and Rachel escapes into the woods, and there's beautiful countryside, there's mountains and greenery, which is opposite to what Blade Runner is all about, with this dark tech noir style all throughout. So, of course, that movie was then re-edited, the director's cut, and then, of course, that ending was cut out, which I didn't care for, but it, again, keeping with what worked for the movie, it had to have been exercised out. So, what's going to happen with this new movie? Again, no idea other than still Los Angeles, environment screwed up. We are going to get Harrison Ford, but he's not going to show up supposedly until the third act of this movie. So we're looking at something going on and then trying to find Deckard, I guess, to help out the situation. But again, this is a movie that I can go on at length about, which I will when it does come out, which I think it's scheduled not until 2018. So we still have some time to go. But the other news was that aside from the new director, there was a film composer, and I'm trying to get his information, is Johan Johansson, who had also worked with Denny, who I think he did the Theory of Everything soundtrack, which I have not seen, but Vangelis is the person that really was the soul and the heart of Blade Runner. Granted, visually, Ridley Scott is amazing, but without those visuals, with that score, it would have never happened the way that it did. And Vangelis' music is one of my top all-time favorites, next to John Williams' Star Wars, the first one, A New Hope. So, not having Vangelis in there, not having Ridley Scott, it's not so much worrisome, but it's going to be different, and I don't know how different it's going to be, but again, that's a movie that's a classic. Something that I don't think you can ever repeat. So, if it does its own thing, kind of like Man of Steel, Hans Zimmer's soundtrack is completely different from John Williams' score. and treat it as if there was never a John Williams score or a Superman movie before and made its own thing, then I will be okay with Blade Runner 2, granted there is some type of continuity in regards to the music. So, alright, so aside from that, let's get into the last bit, the Justice League Dark. For the longest time, Guillermo del Toro has been busy with, you know, the Pacific Rim, and then he did the Strain series, but he also wanted to do Justice League Dark. He was planning to direct it, and he wrote the screenplay, and due to scheduling conflicts, we're not getting him to direct. He is still on board to produce, but that's about it. Now, when he originally wrote the screenplay or the story for Justice League Dark, he called it Dark Universe. So when I saw the news that Doug Liman was going to do Dark Universe, it didn't register until I was reading it that, oh, that's what that is. That's the Justice League Dark. Now, if you've ever read or know of the comic book, Justice League Dark is basically a makeup of heroes that deal with the dark elements such as magic and the occult and things of that nature, mystic arts. Think about DC's versions of Doctor Strange, but Doctor Strange doesn't have a team yet, like this. So, what I would love to have seen, I mean, there is Deadman and John Constantine, Etrigan, and there was someone else I'm blanking on who was left out of that team, but I would love to have seen Dr. Fate be brought in there. And if you watch the Constantine series with Matt Ryan, his helmet was there in the very beginning of that first episode, which I thought that was really fantastic. So, will we get Matt Ryan doing Constantine in the, you know, Dark Justice, Dark Universe series? I don't know. I'm still waiting on what's going to happen with that character on the WB, on the CW, on the TV, because, again, we're getting Supergirl, Arrow, Flash, and Green Arrow. So, how, and of course, Legends of Tomorrow, all into the mix. Constantine is there, he's been established at least, but I don't want, now that I've seen Matt Ryan's performance, I don't want to go back to Keanu Reeves' version. Granted, it's fine for what it is, but it's like, once you have a taste for the good stuff, you don't ever want to go back to the bad stuff. And it was bad, considering the source material and what they did. I prefer the, you know, the 13 episodes that were short versus the 2-hour movie that was bad. So, now, we are going to look at a couple of things going to be coming out. There's a Justice League Dark animated direct-to-DVD coming out. Matt Ryan also reprising, again, John Constantine. So again, is there a go-to guy for Constantine? Please, let that happen. I really would love to see nothing more than having him be part of this whole cast. To me, he's well established enough that you can have a good character and then build that team around him. So, oh, Swamp Thing is the character that they're looking, I think, to add to the mix, which will be kind of cool. So, with the director of Justice League, Doug Liman. The one thing I wanted to bring up about Liman and his past credits was that he did a movie with Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt called Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which I liked. Jumper was another good movie that I really enjoyed, which is a good YA book. He also has done the Bourne movies. He did The Edge of Tomorrow, which I was okay with. Not crazy about how it ended, because I have problems with it, but he is pretty much busy doing other things. But there was another YA book that I was going to bring up and it was called Chaos Walking, in which there's a character named Viola played by Daisy Ridley. And if you know her, she's Rey in the Star Wars Force Awakens. So Lyman's going to be pretty damn busy. So when this movie comes out, I don't know when, but it's one of those, it's like, I just want to see this happen. And considering that we already had Batman vs. Superman, we had Suicide Squad, and next year we're getting Wonder Woman and Justice League, I don't know if we're going to get that in 2018 or 2019, but my hopes is that if those movies don't really pull through, are we going to get a cancellation of Justice League Dark? And I hope it doesn't, because again, we've come too far to not get something like this on the big screen. Small screen, again, WB, and CW have really done a fantastic job in getting those characters right on the small screen. It's just a matter of them getting their act together and getting the big screen stuff to be just as compelling, if not more thrilling. So, alright, so I again want to keep it short and sweet and to the point, and I'm getting kind of extra tired. So, again, you can follow me on the various social networks. You can also email me at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. So again, I really appreciate you, and thank you for listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show. Sci-fi, from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.